Late Night Gamers podcast, where we make all of your gaming habits seem acceptable.
Late Night Gamers.
Steve, this game sucks so bad, it's so unbalanced, blah, and then I just quit and never play it ever again.
Carlson.
What do you do in your free time? Sit around knitting? Screw that shit, I'm gonna cut off a dragon's head.
Tim.
It's okay if your guts spill out and you explode into a bloody mess, as long as you don't take your clothes off.
Late Night Gamers. What is up, everybody? Welcome to episode 18 of Late Night Gamers podcast. I'm Nick Perzanowski, and with me this week and every week is Tim Madden.
Hello!
Steve Morgan.
Hello there.
And Charles Caldwell.
Welcome to the future!
Welcome. What is that from? Is that from something?
I don't remember anything like that.
The mind of Charles Caldwell.
In my subconscious from some movie, it's just like, Welcome to the future! Well, it's a song. 2014, anyway. So.
It's a song by Brad Paisley.
Is it?
I guess so. I looked it up.
I will never listen to that.
That was like rapid fire Googling right there.
It's also a rap album by some really weird dude, Jody Breeze.
Oh, Jodeci? What?
No.
So, yeah, we'll get this started. Charles and I saw each other this weekend. I'm just going to start that off. And posted terrible pictures on Twitter.
We ate pierogi.
Yep.
And I had a ham sandwich. Washed down with some vanilla nog.
Yeah. I was out, and we were like walking in Tilton, and we came back. I saw Charles's car outside, and I was like, oh, he's probably inside. And he had like washed all the dishes and was already starting to like eat a sandwich. And I was like, this is Charles right here.
Concentrated.
Yeah. So yeah, the news this week was kind of slow. Not too much exciting, but.
If there was any news, it was going to be bad news. Not really.
So we had one guy, I think he's out in New York somewhere, Michael Thomason, set the Guinness World Record for owning the most video games. And I guess he owns like over 11,000 games now, which is insane.
I wonder if he's played them all or if he just collects them.
I don't know.
Somehow I doubt he can play them all.
Yeah. How would you play 11,000 games? Even if you put like 10 minutes into 11,000 games, that's a lot of time.
I bet he just rents out the systems. I mean, what else would you do with all those games? You just have it so you can say, "I have 11,000 games."
Look, that is exactly what he's doing. I mean, did you see that guy in the picture?
Yeah,
he's just rubbing himself all over those games. Like,
so if anyone wants to play them, it's like, you've touched parts of me that no one else has.
I mean, it says he's married, but...
Even if each game was at 1 hour long, that's 11,000 hours. That's what, like, 10, I don't know, like, 5 years?
I don't know.
So, I figure it's probably, like, more than that. So it's like, that's not even possible. It's not even physically possible to have played all those games.
Reading the article, it was like, He had a collection years ago, but then he sold them all in like 1997 or 98 or something for his wedding, and then he then started collecting again. So he had zero games back in 1990, like the late 90s, and he gave himself like a $3,000 budget every year to just spend on video games. It's like,
holy crap!
What?
Yeah.
Like, which I don't understand how he estimates his like collection is like $700,000. Like,
yeah,
must have made some good investments.
Yeah,
appreciation of games. It's like none of them have ever been opened.
That's ridiculous.
That is ridiculous. That's too many. Like, what are you gonna do with all?
He must have storage sheds.
They're
all down in his murder basement.
He has like a library.
It puts the lotion in the basket.
The basket made out of Pac-Man video cartridges.
He has all these systems in his picture, so I'm pretty sure he just... He must not open them, though, for them to be valued like that.
No.
It's the only way.
I think he must have everything, like, inbox and...
All I want to say, though, is that there's one person right now who used to have this record who's, like, crying in the corner about how many video games they own and they don't play.
Why did I buy it, though?
He had 8,000, the guy that he beat.
Richard Lease.
Yep.
Richard. Richard Cleese?
Richard Karn? No.
Yeah, he said it's very impressive and very happy for him. And then he just went out and bought like a bajillion games.
Then he went and drank himself to sleep.
He had a significant amount more than this guy. He had almost 2,000 more than the previous record holder.
Yeah, a lot more.
It's like 20% more.
Then he obviously had it far earlier than they announce it. Because, I mean, 2,000 more is like 3 years worth of games.
Maybe. Or I wonder if he has, like, duplicates between different, like, systems. Like, if he has the same game for PS3, Xbox, and Wii or something, you know.
You are technically correct, sir. The best kind of correct.
He just has 4,000 of, like, Super Mario 1.
No, he has, like 4,000, like, Game Boy games. They're just, like, in a bucket.
I've got Pokemon Red. I've got Pokemon Red. I've got Pokemon Blue. I've got Pokemon Green. I got Pokemon Purple, I got Pokemon Persimmon.
The best is you go over this guy's house and he, like, doesn't play any of these games, and you're like, yo, let's play this game. He's like, nah, I can't play that. And you're like, what the hell?
He's like, actually, I don't play video games.
You're like, what the fuck?
I don't want to play games, I don't want my children to play games. This is all investment right now.
Oh my god. Yeah.
Great.
It's like your holographic Charizards. I don't play, I just collect.
So, Steve, you posted this other article.
Yeah, I can talk about this.
Yeah, you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, so I guess recently this was reported on... I mean, I got this from IGN, but it was on, I think, Kotaku. So apparently a group of hackers in China were just recently sentenced to 2 years in prison for stealing accounts.
Yikes.
So apparently these 10 guys in China. Real. Yeah, dude. That's crazy. They should just be happy they weren't in North Korea. But
well, then they'd be hired.
You bring shame. So these ten guys got 2 years in prison for stealing 11,000. This is the best part of this whole story. They sold 11,000 World of Warcraft accounts, and they were just selling them like for like a dollar to just anyone who wanted the account. Like they were just like flipping them over.
That's the dumbest thing ever.
So they were selling like their gold and stuff, and they were getting like a couple bucks a piece. Anyways, they ended up estimating that they earned about like $11,000. So wow. These 10 guys got 2 years in prison, and they got like all the accomplices got $1,000 fines and 2 years in prison, and then the mastermind, the head guy Chen, got $8,000 fine and 2 years in prison. So he lost all his money. Like, I mean, it's like the worst crime ever. Like those guys, what were they gonna get? Like, the best thing is, like, the guy got, like, a down payment on a new car or something, and then, like...
Right.
Yeah, man. Probably all the work it took to like...
Yeah.
All the social engineering they had to do to get all those passwords and whatnot. Probably took them, like, years to accumulate 11,000 accounts and then, you know...
Like, I feel like just, like, them having to do that was probably punishment enough.
Yep.
It's crazy. Yep. Absolutely nuts.
That is nuts.
They just stole millions of Twinks.
Well, I mean, $11,000, it's like, what, like 20 million yen or something?
The thing is, too, like, in all reality, they probably just ended up having situations like, Tim, didn't your account get hacked once and then, like, Blizzard, like, refunded your stuff and you got double?
Dude, it was awesome, man. I was actually thankful. Whoever that was, he did me a huge favor. He went, he like sold all my stuff and all my characters, but never transferred the gold. So I had like had like 30,000 gold, and then he used my rogue and went like on a mega mining spree. My bags were literally full to the brim with ore. So then I petitioned Blizzard, and they just gave me back everything. Plus, I got to keep like the 30 grand in gold and all the ore. So like, all right, I'll take that.
That was
if you want to borrow my account again, let me know.
That was like back in like what was that, Wrath?
I don't remember.
Cause I
think it was Wrath. Yeah.
Because I remember like when you said that 30,000 was like a lot then.
Yeah, it was
like insane.
I didn't have to like. That's even now. That's a lot of gold. I didn't have to like grind for gold for years.
Oh god!
I remember 100 gold is a lot. Jeez, 1,000 gold is what got us for a flying mount, right?
No, it's cheaper now. It's gone way down.
I feel like gold got inflated a lot in the new game though, because I had a ton of gold and missed. Like, I feel like I had like 30 or 40,000 by the time I like. There was also, in Mists of Pandaria, there was this glitch when it first came out that, like, that big, like, bison thing on that one island that would just kill everything, and you could just, like, you could kite stuff around and get it to kill it, and then you could loot it, and I just, like, I was selling, like, stacks of, like, the cloth from Mists for, like, you know, 20 gold a stack or something, because people were so stupid and didn't know better, I was literally getting, like probably like 10 stacks like every minute over there. Like I had made 5,000 gold off of like cloth in like the first day. It was like insane. Anyways, that happened.
Lesson learned: bison are good for getting cloth.
Well, then they hot fixed it like after the first week, and I was like, what am I gonna do now?
I feel like earning gold in WoW is harder than earning cash by stealing accounts.
Yeah, that's why they should be punished. They have to grind WoW for 2 years in prison.
Yeah.
So,
and then, and then have all their money stolen by a hacker.
Well, we're at the end of 2013... That's a thing.
Yep.
New Year's is New Year's is happening this week.
Never came.
End of Days was supposed to be last year, yeah.
I know, but the end of last year, and we had a whole year for it to catch up, and it hasn't. So
the Mayans didn't know what they were talking about. I mean, please.
Fucked up.
They ate too many hearts. They died of mercury poisoning.
So we're gonna go through and do our favorite games of 2013 and kind of just throw out some stuff and maybe some suggestions for anybody that may not have played some of these games. And most of them are from this year. Charles has a few from last year that he played.
The games that I played for 2013 are, I mean, all of the new games I wouldn't consider the best games that I played, so I'm not going to put those down.
Fair enough.
Played all the games.
All right, so I guess the first game I'm going to just throw out there and say The Last of Us on PlayStation 3 was an amazing story experience, gameplay experience. Characters were awesome. It had the entire package, and you went away from it like feeling like it was more than just a game. Which was a huge, huge thing for me. The visuals were amazing. It was like, it was a perfect game to finish off the PlayStation, like the PlayStation 3 life cycle. I know it's still going, but it was kind of like the last game that was really before next gen that was awesome. And I know, yeah. Steve, you played it too.
Yeah, this would have been on my list. I saw you already put it. So, yeah, I thought this was great. And I mean, I'm a PC guy, but it got me back into consoles. I really enjoyed it. It was a full experience, and like you said, you just finished it feeling like it was worth the time that you put into it. It was really good. And this is kind of one of those. This kind of segues into what I'm looking forward to in 2014. But I hopefully they can build off a game like this. I don't know if they need to do a sequel or anything like that. I know that they've thought about it, but that's kind of where I'm hoping things are going to go, because that game was awesome. It just really was a lot different than a lot of games that have come out before it.
Yeah, I feel like there was a lot of moral decisions, and you felt like you were watching, honestly, like it felt like you were watching an Oscar-nominated movie, and it's like, and yes, it's a video game, but it felt like it could have been on a list that they would have actually nominated.
Yeah, absolutely. It was like there was just so much dialogue that was just inherent in the game, and it was just very like, it was very dynamic and very interactive and very like, you just felt like you were in the moment. You weren't like, it didn't feel like you were so objective based, like running to something just to do it, and you know, it just wasn't like a game. It was like a movie that you're playing.
Exactly. And I love the backstory that you got from picking up collectibles, and like you'd read letters and whatnot, and you know, suicide notes that were left by people that were in houses that you went through. It was just like, I don't know. There was just a lot of story there. A lot of really getting the idea of how the world changed and everything. And I think it was probably my favorite game of 2013 entirely. But so what else? What else did you guys? What else have we played this year?
I think this next one on the list is a huge one. This one would probably have been my other yeah. favorite game of 2013. This is BioShock Infinite. I mean, when I talk to people and they say they haven't played this game, I'm just like, you gotta be kidding me. You have to play this game.
I know, like, what have you been doing this whole time?
It's just so good, and it's also kind of like The Last of Us. Maybe it's just because I'm, like, getting older, and I'm like, but, like, I mean, I think the storyline really makes a game. I mean, in any game, really, like, the storyline is what makes you feel like you remember it. Like, you're just like, oh, that game was so great, and it's just like, I mean, the gameplay needs to be not, like, it can't be, I'm trying to think of the word here, but, like, can't be a deterrent. So if the gameplay is good enough that you're not, like, feeling, like, frustrated with it, which it isn't in BioShock Infinite, it's actually really well done. The storyline is what drives you to, like, be like, oh my god, this game was, like, so great. And the storyline in BioShock Infinite is awesome. I mean, yeah. It's just so cool. It's got, and it kind of like ties together all the BioShocks a little bit, and it just like, I don't know, it just was really well done. I remember finishing that game and just being like, mind blown away, like for so long. It took me weeks to like recover from what I had like experienced.
I know. I definitely had to read up on the end of it, because I'm like, I think I understood, but I need to like read what other people thought just to think, like,
I need
just
to mentally digest this. Yeah, otherwise my brain is gonna explode and I'm gonna forget who I am.
You just turn into a vegetable. Like, ugh.
The funny thing is I definitely didn't understand. Like, I mean, I had a good understanding, like 80%, but then like I read so many articles and so many people had different opinions. Like, they're just so different. Like, no one really got it like right or whatever, but it's
such a good
game.
What the right answer was.
Yeah.
I mean, right.
Is stuff so open.
I think that was the cool part is that the end was so open to interpretation that it was just like, I don't know, it makes your mind kind of wander, and the person playing the game actually uses their imagination a little bit, especially if they've played the earlier games, and it's like, oh well, how does it connect? Like, how does it, you know, how do these characters fit into the rest of the lore of BioShock, and you know. No, it was a great game. Great game. Coolest, and one of the coolest environments in any game I've played, for sure.
Yeah.
Playing up in the sky, so it was pretty scary.
And it was just the gameplay was so fluid in that. Like, some of those mechanics in the game could have been so difficult and so, like, just, like, frustrating, but being able to just jump from these sky rails, like, shooting guys while you're doing it, and it's just, like...
Yeah, it's no Mario 64 where you're trying to get all the stars in the rainbow level, and you're, like, one, like, micro spasm of your thumb and you're dead.
Dude, I don't want to talk about that level.
So, yeah, I think every single one of us played it, right?
Yeah.
I actually didn't play it.
What?
Yeah, no, I played the original BioShock, and then I started playing BioShock 2, and I was like, I don't want to play this because I feel like it's not as good.
It wasn't.
So I haven't played any of them since then.
BioShock 2 was... I didn't like it. I didn't finish playing it.
I played it. It was mediocre. I mean, it obviously wasn't as good as the first one. But I did enjoy playing as Big Daddy, even if you weren't the Big Daddy. Because you could just throw people in the face.
Charles is like a Big Daddy in real life, minus the, like, girth.
Yeah, if Charles had a drill hand and a helmet of some sort, he would be a Big Daddy.
Maybe that's what I should dress up for Halloween next year.
Uh-huh.
That'd be perfect.
Or should go to PAX as a Big Daddy and just charge to the crowds with my drill and be like, oh, when he used to have to dress up as a little sister. Let's get Brandon to do it.
Brandon, yeah.
I'm going to go a few... I'm just going to throw some... PlayStation Vita games out there, because I know that's another console that I've played on, and two games that I was really impressed with this year were Guacamelee, which was just a really awesome, like, Mexican-themed platformer. And
yeah, that looks sick. I remember wanting to play that.
It, like, the colors are super vibrant, the levels are really hard. There's no, like, you can't play on easy or... Well, actually, there is a hard mode, but it doesn't make the platforming stages any easier. And it was, you know, it was tough, but I got the platinum for that, and I wanted more, and it was just, like, I really can't wait for them to hopefully make a second one. But it was just a cool experience for platformers. 2D, like... Totally what I love. Really brings me back to NES and whatnot. But
yeah.
Tearaway also just came out for the Vita a week or two ago, or a few weeks ago. And that was also a really cool experience too. Too short, I think, but cool story. It takes place in like a paper world, and when you get like trophies and things in the game, you unlock like actual papercraft things that you can download off the internet and do like the origami stuff of it. So that's kind of neat. But yeah, that was a good game. And another mention, I guess, would be Killzone Mercenary, which was like the actual only good first person shooter that's come out for the Vita, and I'm playing that right now, which is it's pretty awesome. So
nice.
Cool.
Tim, you put something on there.
I put down Terraria, which actually came out and technically came out in 2011, so it's a couple years old. But this last year is when it came out for like Xbox. It came out on pretty much every platform, so Xbox, iOS, Android. PlayStation, became ubiquitous this year.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I had played Minecraft a lot, and when I first saw Terraria, I was like, this is just Minecraft but 2D. I don't want to play this. And then Steve kind of talked me into it, and I played it, and then I logged like 80 hours in the first week. You know, it was insane. But it gives you a totally different perspective on like. You know, that type of game, the you know, action explorer type of game, and it has a huge like creative element to it, and then it also has this kind of like dungeon crawler element. So I think it's like a really good blend of you know, a lot of different types of games that you know, it's fun to play on your own, but it's even more fun when you have a group of people playing it. And I would definitely chalk it up as something that if you haven't played it, it's worth picking up at this point.
Yeah,
I think I'm actually gonna pick it up for Vita once the price goes down a little bit, because it seems like cool experience.
The only drawback is just how addicting it is, really.
Well,
really then I can play it everywhere.
Like, in spirits. Yeah, no, that's really cool. I haven't played it on any of the other platforms. My brother got it for Xbox, and he seemed to really like it, even though it was controller based. I mean, he seemed fine with it, and he'd played it on PC too, so like, he had a good perspective of like the difference in controls, so I'm sure it's probably pretty good for any other system.
Well, anyone who's listening before the second, it's on sale on Steam for $4.99 right now, so.
Oh, it's on the flash sale or?
Yeah.
The holiday sale.
Sweet. Okay.
Cool.
Charles, you put some games on here.
Yeah, I put some games down. Well, the one I have for the best is the, well, one that's been out again for a while, but it came out in late 2012 for PC because there had been enough interest from the PC community in having a PC port. Granted, the PC port wasn't great. It was basically they just threw it at you and they made you code all of the controls based on the keyboard and how you wanted to play. But once you got it through, I mean, it really requires you to have a steep learning curve on the controls anyway, so it probably is beneficial for them to do that, because if you didn't, then you might take it for advantage that everything in the game is going to kill you in two hits. Literally everything. You start off in a prison, you walk out of the door, and...
Did you say what the game is, Charles?
Oh, Dark Souls.
I was, like, sitting there, I'm like, did he say it and I missed it? I thought I was, like, not paying attention.
I'm just building it up too much, and it's like, but yeah, Dark Souls is the game that I play. Literally.
It's like Jeopardy. It's like Jeopardy. At the end, he just goes, what is Dark Souls? Yeah.
But I played the game, I'm looking on my thing now, I played it for 151 hours.
Goddamn.
Of just like roaming around, trying to figure stuff out, just killing things, getting new upgraded weapons, killing other players because you can like invade other players' world in certain areas. Or so there was one particular boss in the game where you're fighting two people. It's this one giant fat guy with a hammer and another one with a spear, and there's pillars all around, and you gotta dodge and avoid. And if you kill one before the other, it beefs up the other one. And so you got to develop a certain strategy based on that. But right before that, there's this huge hall where you'd want to just kind of recuperate because you have to kill two giants that aren't easy to kill anyway. But that is one of the worst places for people to invade other players' games, because they will invade, they will kill you, they will take all of your items, they'll take your souls, they'll take your gold, they'll just destroy you. And there's always somebody who's just trolling there, like writing. You can write like, you can't write anything, but you can write certain phrases on there, and they'll just, like, taunt you with the phrases that they're allowed. It's like, death this way, like, all this nonsense, and then you go there, and then all of a sudden, somebody invades, and they invade as, like, a red shade, like, the red character, like, glowing in the dark, just coming out of nowhere, and then you'll be trying to fend off a giant, and then all of a sudden, they just spear you through the belly, and then you're dead. But that game was... It's just so infuriating. And I think probably the reason that it's on my best is that the game doesn't have a lot in the, like, dialogue or a specific storyline. It's very like you're just dropped into an evil world. It's like you're playing a fantasy version of Silent Hill, basically. It's terrifying. You don't want to go around any corners because you know you're going to die. And the creatures just sneak up on you, and then they stab you or spear you or gore you or... any of the other terrible things that happened to you in that game. But the atmosphere is just really, really well done, so that it does freak you out to the effect that it's like a horror game, except it's not a horror, it's a horror fantasy. That
sweet. I know that game has a really big following.
Yeah, it does.
I'm excited for the second one.
Yes.
Yeah.
And basically every character you come across in that game you can kill. Like, you come across this goddess, and as it turns out, she's an illusion, so you can kill her. And then outside, all of the things that weren't trying to kill you before start trying to kill you, and it's really enjoyable.
Excellent.
I think that should be another measure on Charles's scale of game rating. Should be, you know, percentage of a killable NPC.
It's like Oblivion's like number one. You just kill everything. He doesn't give a shit. Just like some merchant like sells something for too much. He just pulls his sword out and just dominates him.
Well, that was my biggest pet peeve about Fallout 3. Is you go to the little place with all the kids, and it's like they're not letting me in. They're being huge dicks right now. Why can't I just like vat the crap out of them and just blow their heads off?
Can't kill children,
Charles.
No,
that was actually the first mod I downloaded for Fallout 3. Was killing children.
So yeah, I really enjoyed enjoyed it, and I probably died hundreds and hundreds of times, but once you get to a certain point, and you're just like, it's one of those games where you play by muscle memory, so my hands eventually are just like, boop, 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 and done. Everything's, I think the final weapon I got was this awesome shield and this sword that's just like a monster sword. It's like literally twice as high as I am, and I just go in and just slash everything, so, yeah.
Nice.
But there are no children in that game.
Steve, you put something else down.
Yeah, I'm just going to do these quick because we've been talking about a lot of these, but Dota 2, I have to give some props to Dota 2 because it's been consuming my life, especially lately. it's been really good, and this is actually a testament to the game because I really don't like Dota games like MOBAs, really, and, you know, I tried playing League of Legends, didn't like it. I tried playing Heroes of New Earth, didn't like it, and, you know, I hated all these all these custom games in StarCraft, like, too. Like, I was like, oh, it's so stupid. So, it's actually a testament to the game that it got me to get into it, and it's really good, and I have a feeling it's going places just eventually. So
it's a testament to it, too, that him and I have been playing it, and we've been losing constantly, and we're still going back for more punishment.
They did a good job, I think, of incorporating like low skill level players, which is good. But I mean, once you get good, it kind of ticks you off. But, so, anyways, Dota 2 has got to be on this list. And then I think also I put Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon, which is that DLC content for Far Cry 3, which is really good, really well done, good time like commitment, really funny. They did a good job of like not making necessarily new stuff, but making enough new stuff that it seemed different. In that, I mean, like, they didn't really, like, make new terrain and stuff, but they, like, kind of changed the world, and they made it more futuristic, and there was a lot of, like, humor in it, especially, like, 1980s action humor, so if you're, like, an our age frame, then you think it's pretty funny. It was really good. I enjoyed it. I actually just played it all the way through, I think, when I got it. So that's another game, I think, if you haven't tried that game, to definitely play it. If you like first-person shooters, and if you played Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon, it's definitely worth playing.
This Green Beret is going to kick your ass. I ate Green Berets for breakfast and I'm very hungry.
Uh-oh. What have we started?
Well, we've gone through our favorite games of 2013. I'm just going to spew off one game that was my least favorite. And that's Aliens Colonial Marines, because it was built up for years and years and years, and we saw it at PAX, we thought it was going to be cool, we played it, it seemed cool, and then Charles and I actually played it, and it blew chunks all over everything.
Like, literally might be on every single top 10 worst games of 2013. Literally, I think it's on every single
one. Is it?
It's, okay. It's bad.
It's in top three on everyone, too. It's, like, usually one of their worst games.
Well, I think what adds to it, too, is, like, how hyped up it was.
Sure, disappointing, yeah.
It was just embarrassing. Yeah.
Has anyone ever played that game where it was that game where you could play as an alien or a predator?
Yeah, that was the original, like, Aliens versus a Predator, I think, right?
Yeah.
Like, way back.
No, I'm talking about more recently. Oh. It was, like, an actual game. It was.
Oh, yeah, that. There was one way back like 15
years
ago.
Yeah, that was like that side scroller. That one was awesome, but I'm talking
No. There was also a first person shooter, like, I mean, around, like, I mean, this was way back. Like, I didn't even have a GeForce then. I had like a Voodoo video card or something. there was that, but then there was a newer one. I know what you're talking about, like, around like 5 years ago or something, maybe not even that long ago.
Yeah, that one was pretty.
I never played that one.
That was a pretty good one. All things considered. But you could hunt people down as the alien, like, lurking around corners, and all of the humans would be on the ground, and you could sense them. I enjoyed that. And that's what I thought Colonial Marines would be like, to some extent, but it was basically just the AI was just nonsense.
Yeah, we could stand in a hallway, and at the other there was like an invisible barrier, and the aliens would just sit there and look at us at the end of the hallway, and then as soon as we walked through, then they'd run at us. But it was terrible.
Same with facehuggers; you could hear them, you could see one across through a doorway, but it wouldn't come at you until you walked to the door.
They said that, like, I was reading all the reviews, and it was like, yeah, like, their squad mates were, like, really bad. Like, they would sprint into a room and then just run in the corner and stare at it and stuff.
That is true, actually, yes.
Oh, God.
So, that was a pretty bad game.
One that was on my list was Far Cry 2, and I started playing it, because I had a whole bunch of my list of games that I hadn't played. And once I played Far Cry 3, I was like, well, I gotta go try out the other ones, so I tried Far Cry, I enjoyed Far Cry a lot, and then I started playing Far Cry 2, where you're in Africa, and I was like, oh man, this is going to be sweet. And then I start playing it, and the user interface was awful. It was just the worst gameplay I've ever seen, and then the missions were awful. It was just not good, so that didn't last long.
No.
Basically, the mini-map is you holding up a map. Like, you can move around. It doesn't stop anything. You move around with a map that takes up the whole screen.
It's just terrible. Did you play Far Cry 3?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Because that one was actually good, too.
Yeah, I played that one.
Yeah, that was good. Also, games of just... One game that was really disappointing for me was the Naruto Shippuden Ultimate Ninja Storm.
You talked about that. Why did it disappoint you, Steve?
I don't know. Maybe it's just because I'm a big Naruto fanboy, but it just wasn't that good. Just, like, straight fighting, which is, like, fine. I mean, that's what the genre of that game is. But, like, the story mode, and it was, like, horrendously bad. And it was catered to people that, like, didn't know the story. When the story's, like, 500 episodes in, like, you're just screwed at this point. So, like, yeah, it was just not that good. I mean, I was just disappointed, personally. It wasn't, like, a bad game, but I had high expectations. I was excited.
Well, we've talked about our games 2013, and I think since we're hitting the new year coming up here, we're going to go into 2014, what we're looking forward to, any predictions we may have, and also we have some questions that, why don't we go through the questions first, and just kind of tackle them before we go on and talk about anything else. At that Chaffee asks, Gaikai is coming to PS4 in 2014. Will it happen? And how do you think it'll work? I don't know if you guys have read anything about Gaikai. It's the streaming service that's coming to PS4. Mm-hmm.
I'm going
to
say no.
It's going to be... Well, it's like... I think they're basically going to be... You're going to be able to stream any PS3 game on PS4. And I think they want to eventually...
Have back compatibility for all games or all PlayStation games.
Yeah, there was another service that did this, and the whole premise was that you generate the graphics and whatnot. You have a computer in the cloud somewhere that has infinite power that can generate the graphics super fast, really nice graphics, and then you just stream it to any dumb device. So you can stream it to a TV or wherever, and that was the whole premise of Gaikai. And there was another one, I forget what it was called, but and then Sony bought Gaikai, and it kind of made it permanently a PlayStation tool.
I think from what I've been reading, it looks like it's coming out end of 2014 supposedly, but I have a feeling it's probably going to be pushed back to 2015, the first first quarter, second quarter of 2015. Just because I don't think they're gonna want to shit it out and make a bunch of people disappointed if it's terrible, if it's not working,
I think in other parts of the world it might be a possible thing, but the broadband latency in America is just not to the point yet where you can play something so demanding. To have a game where split-second control decisions are going to determine the outcome of the game. It's not... You can't do that by stream.
No.
There's so much of a... Especially, like, an HD stream. There's way too much of a delay to do that in real time.
We're not... I don't think we're there yet. But I think once they do get it off the ground, it's probably going to be... It's probably going to be an additional pay service. I don't know if they would actually have it pay per game, but it might. I'm thinking one of the best models might be to just, if it's strictly older games, then it'll be like a monthly subscription, and you can stream a certain number of games or something.
And then it'll generate money each time, because then, like, not everyone is going to want to stream a game, but then they're like, oh, but then I'll have it, and it's like a rental service, sort of. I think
there'll be plenty of interest for it, but as you say, yeah. Tim, it seems, I mean, you know more about the technical stuff than I do, but if there's not the technical capacity for it, then it's definitely not going to happen.
Yeah. So, I think it's going to be pushed back. I don't think it's going to come out in 2014. I think a lot of other features of the PlayStation 4 will be realized this year, but I think that Gaikai is probably going to be pushed back. We have another question here at RoboP1G.
RoboP!
he says, do you think Titanfall will cause a resurgence for mech games?
No.
I hope so.
I hope so.
I don't think so, because in order to make it like a mech game that is actually enjoyable now is going to require much more investment than when they were on N64 and everyone was just like, oh yeah, let's make a tech game, because the graphics are going to require so much more, and I don't think it'll happen.
Well, what was that mech game we were playing at PAX this year?
Hawken,
yeah.
That's
out.
That seemed pretty good.
I think it's free to play. It's pretty fun. I remember, like, I played the hell out of MechWarrior 2 on PC. It was, like, one of the first PC games I had. And that just, like, I played so much of that game, it just solidified mech games as this thing. And then I remember, I think it was on the first Xbox.
Steel Battalion?
No, not that one. That one, I was going to get to that point. Yeah, there was another mech. It was a mech warrior game where it was like a third-person mech game, so it was a little bit different from like the original mech warrior. But yeah. It was one of the first like multiplayer online mech games for like console, and it was just huge. And then Steel Battalion was just insane. I remember playing with the huge ass gears and whatnot, like, and it was like you had to flip a million buttons to turn your mech on.
Yeah. I remember that was
a little overboard.
Alan had that thing. It was like $150 for the friggin' like dashboard joysticks. There's like four joysticks and like a bunch of blinking lights and shit, and
you basically had to set up a table in front of
you. Oh my god.
It was ridiculous.
Right now, it's awful.
Your arms and put a seatbelt on.
So literally,
they like sold
Gundam.
Out really fast too.
Yeah.
Once Alan bought his, they like jacked up the price because they sold out.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty sure that it was only used for that one game, and people probably used it for a week and then realized, what was I thinking?
Like, yeah. My whole body is tired. This is not why I play video games.
I think they made another one, but it used the Kinect or something.
Get away from her, you bitch!
But honestly, like, I think Titanfall is going to be, I think it's going to be huge for Xbox One, and it's probably going to be, I think it's going to be probably the biggest Xbox exclusive this year. Coming out 2014.
Well, it's on PC, isn't it? Yeah.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying, like, it's not coming to PlayStation 4 or Wii U or,
yeah,
like, generation, I mean, console-wise, it's going to be the biggest release.
Yeah.
That's exclusive to that console. But yeah, I think mech games should be bigger, because I love... they need to change it up. I'm kind of sick of the whole first person shooter. I don't know. Just the whole genre is just getting really boring to me. I mean, I still love playing them, but there's nothing. None of the games actually come out with anything that's like new.
Well, I think the best part about mech games is it's like I'm a lazy turd. I could be a lazy turd in that mech too.
Yeah,
it's like. You could actually be that person in that mech.
Yep. Exactly.
Makes sense.
You just gotta press the right buttons and be like boop 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 boop, and then it shoots the laser.
Yeah.
Another question we got from Shifty25. He asks, now that both next gen consoles are out, are you worried about a game drought for next year?
Absolutely not. I feel like 2013 was the game drought year, and now I'm ready for all these games to come out.
2014 has a huge lineup of games.
Yeah.
I mean...
Prey 2.
Yeah. Yes. Because that's what everyone is looking for.
Yes, everyone's... Oh, boy, it looks like there's some... Oh, no, this is all old. Never mind. I feel like I bring it up every time, and I'm like, there's news about Prey 2. No. There's no news about Prey 2. It's not happening.
He's like, wait, no. It's fan fiction again.
I mean, honestly, huge games. Titanfall coming out. Destiny's coming out. Watch Dogs. The Order 1886.
What's the Tom Clancy one?
No, the Order 1886 is that's a PlayStation 4 one.
No, he's asking what that game is.
Yeah, the District or something like that.
Division. The Division. Yeah. Sorry.
That looks awesome.
Then there's also Patriot too. That's another game. It's like a first-person shooter coming out for consoles too, and that looked pretty good. I don't know. The Evil Within, Dying Light. I'm excited. I'm gonna pre-order Dying Light pretty soon here, I think.
Yeah, that game looks intense.
Yeah, I'm super excited for that.
Which one is that game where you like bust the wall down and you go into that thing?
Oh, that's some other PS4 game. Yeah, I forget what the name of that
guy. Same guy who made Resident Evil, right?
No, that was The Evil Within.
That's The Evil Within.
Oh, okay.
I'm thinking of something else that Nick showed us earlier, but I can't remember the name of it.
Yeah, I can't remember. I think this is honestly going to be a huge year for horror games too, because it seems like they're really making a resurgence compared to like legitimate horror, like survival horror games.
Well, I think like cinematics and graphics are becoming more of like pressing, so
yeah.
I can see why that would be. I mean, it's dramatics, right? So it's
yeah. Yeah, it's gonna change everything. It's gonna be fantastic. I can't wait. I'm just gonna scare myself to death all the time.
they're gonna find Nick. Three weeks later, his eyes are gonna be rotted out.
It's gonna look like that girl from The Ring.
That's exactly what I was gonna say.
I knew you were. We're gonna put on your tombstone, scared to death.
Yep. That fucking face burned in everyone's minds from our generation.
I'm pretty sure it's like your like Google Plus picture anyway.
I thought that'd be a pretty good idea to put it in your will.
A Walking Dead yourself pic or whatever.
Can you imagine putting that in your will? Make me into an urban legend when I die.
It's like Charles is such a good idea. You already are urban legend and you're alive.
Don't go past the south side of town. You don't know what's lurking. The Caldwell family is there. You don't want to see them. Alright.
Are there any other games that we're talking... I mean...
I'm just going to start mailing all of you movies. It's movies with You'll Be Dead in 24 Hours on them.
He has like a whole bunch of like already prepackaged. And he's like, when I die, mail these up.
It'll just be static. And then my eye, like, I'll just get really close and just be like...
There's gonna be like a fly crawling over the screen, and
I'm just gonna buy like go to the pet store and just buy like 200 flies and just put my head in a glass box and just have them buzz around and just sit here stoically.
It's like Charles in a white room sitting in a chair.
Total nonsense.
I'll steal some lines from Pinhead from Hellraiser. And be like, pain is just the beginning. Who knows?
I'm actually kind of scared.
Yeah, oh, jeez. Okay.
All right. Well, I think we should move on to our top five. And
do it.
We've got this week, keeping it in New Year's fashion.
Style.
We have New Year's resolutions that. The top five New Year's resolutions that gamers should keep. And we have a list of five resolutions that you may have heard before, but they're completely different.
We are repurposing them.
Yes.
Number one, fall in love. And this means...
This one. I haven't found a game that can make me fall in love in a long time. Well, I guess I just did because I played Dark Souls, so...
For 150 hours. Awful. So we're proposing that you find a game that you were so in love with this year that you play it to 100% completion, because I don't think that everybody does that, and I think it's an accomplishment that you can truly realize and feel
take
good about.
Pride in. Walking to work time. With a smile on your face saying, I got all of those achievements.
Guess what? Yeah, I just 100%ed a game. What you think now, bitches? Or you can legitimately leave your house and fall in love. That. Yeah, that too. That can happen too. Speaking of which, Tim got engaged this week. Congratulations.
Oh, yeah, congrats.
Congratulations.
Yeah, I got engaged.
Tim got engaged to his girlfriend of... What have you guys been going for, like, 6 years now?
Yeah, we've been together for, like, 5 years.
Five years. Nice.
Long time.
Nick texts me and he goes, yo, Tim got engaged. And I go, yeah, now I'm the only person on this podcast that's not engaged or married.
Right.
It's permanent bachelor.
The watch is ticking now.
It's permanent bachelor.
Well, Craigslist.org. I need a girl to be engaged with. This is not a joke.
Man searching for marriage.
I'm doing a video game podcast, and I need a girl to be engaged
I'm really feeling the screws being pressed down on me. Come on. Come on, ladies.
I don't want to talk to you, and I don't want you to talk to me.
Just put a ring. I'll put a ring on it. Just leave me alone.
We can live in perfect harmony. Mm-hmm. Number two. Who wants to do
get it? Fit. Not get fat, get fit.
Yeah, get fit.
Get fit.
Get fit.
Get fit. Play a game that requires movement and try to look cool doing it. Play a game that requires you to actually do something other than just sit playing, hitting keys.
That is an oxymoron, because you'll never look cool playing a game.
Exactly.
What are you talking about? You look awesome when you play tennis.
We fit you.
Standing in front of a screen, in front of a television, just waving your arms around and like, stomping your feet.
My favorite one is boxing.
Although when I first got the Kinect, it came with like Kinect Adventures or something. It had this cool thing where like it would randomly take pictures of you when you were doing
things. Yeah.
And then you could like put it on Facebook, and that was kind of cool. But you never looked cool; you just looked like an asshole.
Yeah.
Either like smacking the person next to you or doing some sort of horrible movement. You know?
You look like a giant dick.
Number three. Anyone can take this.
All right, I'll say this one. This is take a trip.
Play a game.
Trip
balls.
Take a trip.
Use mushrooms while you're playing a game in a weird setting.
Not really. Don't do that.
No. Don't do that.
We don't suggest doing drugs.
Okay.
Dare to keep a kid off drugs.
Do they even do dare anymore? Is that a real thing anymore?
No, you just be sad.
I think they found
students
that, like,
against dangerous decisions.
Dare like increase the number of kids who did drugs, so they stopped doing.
All
that.
I
remember, like, this is what weed looks like. We're like, oh, okay, cool.
Yes, there are uppers, there are downers, there are hallucinogens. It's like, yeah, sweet.
I just remember.
Sounds cool.
I just remember coming to class and Officer Volbell was like, he just brought in a jar with like a smoker's lung in it, and he was like, "This is what your lungs are going to look like if you smoke a lot of cigarettes."
So that's
cigarettes.
What Mr. LeBaron's other lung looked like.
I was like, "Oh boy,
Mr. LeBaron, why are you still smoking? Foolish."
Shout out. All right. Anyway,
so the real thing.
The real thing is play a game that's set in a city or world you've loved to visit. And we have some examples here. Assassin's Creed 4, the Caribbean. Our pirate ships.
Yep. The open sea.
I don't know this other one though. The Order?
The Order 1886 hasn't come out yet. But it's set in like London in the late 1800s, and it's like alternate history kind of stuff.
Cool.
It seems really neat, and I was reading up on it, and they actually the team that did the environment for this game actually went out to like boroughs of London and took pictures of like intricate things like the screws on like light posts, and so they're trying to make it as legitimate as possible. So like that's pretty cool. Down to the tiny detail. So it should be pretty cool.
Yeah.
But Tim, I think you want to play Watch Dogs just so then you can look like you're playing in Chicago, right?
Yeah, it's like I can be here and then but not leave my house at the same time.
I remember this in like Last of Us, like they're in Boston at the beginning. I'm like, wait, this doesn't look like Boston. What's this? What's that? Where am I? Am I near where I live?
Yeah, I actually, when we saw that, when they showed gives that sneak peek of Watch Dogs, I was like, that building's not there. That building has black glass.
Yeah, so take a trip. Enjoy yourself in otherworldly pleasures.
Drink a pina colada while you're playing a game. Filled with coconut pulp. Mm.
Oh, God, oh my Charles.
All right, our next one here is make a budget. So
it's important to keep your financial house in order.
Yeah. See, for me, my gaming budget is I stop buying games when I have no money.
Exactly, and I threw it out there. I was like, put gaming into your budget, even if that means if you have to give up food. Because it's more important, honestly.
It's actually not that funny, because I'm pretty sure Call of Duty Ghosts, in turn, ended up making me eat ramen for, like, the last week of that month.
That sounds like it made you eat a very healthy option. Because we all know that sodium requires... We all know that sodium is necessary for proper body function.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that sodium should make up, like, 40% of your diet. That's what the food pyramid tells you to do.
Call it the Call of Duty diet, where you spend $60 for something you don't play, and then you just can't have any money.
Dude, that's gonna catch on now.
Yeah.
The Atkins of 2013.
Exactly.
Cobs are the enemy.
But seriously, like, gaming needs to be into your budget. Just fit it in. Because a lot of people just buy one game and they're like, oh, I can probably play this game for like 300 hours and not play anything else. But
don't be that guy.
Don't do that. Come on.
This is where Steam sales like just saved my life. Yeah.
No shit.
Because I'm like, oh, I don't want to spend any money. And it's like, oh, this is like $10 for this like $40 game. Like, boom, just buy it.
Plus the fact that now in Dota we're getting items that we can sell how much we play. So it's like... I mean, it doesn't. It's not that much, but it's like when I'm buying like a $5 game, it's a $123 out of that. It's like, okay.
Or if you own a PlayStation 3, honestly, like just sign up for PlayStation Plus. This month you get Devil May Cry and BioShock Infinite. Those are the two free games for PlayStation 3 this month.
Wow,
like that's pretty good. Nuts. Those are huge games to play.
Yeah, I wanted to buy Devil May Cry too.
So if you're on PlayStation 3, definitely just sign up for that. $50 a year, like. You get some crazy games for free off of that.
Yeah.
So
it's pretty sweet. That's awesome.
Yep.
Number 5. Quit drinking. Don't do that. Seriously.
Don't ever do that.
No. Drinking is great. When you go along, as long as you're 21, we don't suggest underage drinking. Late Night Gamer Podcast does not condone drinking under the age of 21.
Don't do it, otherwise I'll come out and find you.
Find
Take
you.
Your booze.
Charles will find you. It's not a joke.
We gon' find you, we gon' find you. You can tell that.
So
I've never done this, but I feel like Mario Party would be like an awesome drinking game.
Oh, yeah. Completely.
It is.
Or that Wario game. With the ridiculous
thing. Oh, dude, that game is insane.
What game is that?
WarioWare Smooth.
Do the elephant!
Yeah, we used to play that. We used to play that as a drinking game when it first came out. It was so great.
That's awesome.
Because it's so fast. It's like, and then you just lose, and you're like, drink. Next one goes.
I feel like I think it would get to a point where just no one could do anything. You'd be like,
That's what makes it better, because the game is like, it's a repetitive game, so like as you start to play it, everyone starts to get good, but like it's kind of counteracting that like experience factor.
Yeah.
So even though you've like just done the elephant thing, you like don't really know what's going on. You're like, ugh!
And it's psychedelic, so you're like half having a seizure while you're doing it.
Yeah. You're like, oh, they're losing. Like, no, seriously, this person's having a seizure.
Oh no!
And honestly, like, I feel like I go and if I play games while I'm drinking, the more drinks I have, the better I feel like I'm playing. Like. Yeah. I get some of my better kill streaks in Battlefield 4 or at Battlefield 3 when I was playing Battlefield 3.
It's like, partially because you don't overthink things. You're just like, I'm gonna just do it.
Yeah.
And Dota, I'm sitting there looking, staring at all the items, like, oh, I don't know what I should get next. And then it's like, and then I have one beer, and I'm like, I'm just gonna get this, and then I'm gonna go over there. I'm gonna sneak past this guy. I'm gonna stab him in the back. It's awesome.
I remember getting really drunk one time, and I came back, and I started playing Minecraft, and then I woke up the next day, and I was like, what the fuck was I building? Like, this weird-ass structure, like, this is horrible. What was I doing? I wasted all my shit. I put my, like, this crazy-ass building, and it didn't go anywhere.
You made a building out of, like, diamond or something?
Yeah.
Tried. You got, like, 5 blocks down, and straight out.
Oh goodness!
All right. Well, I think we're nearing the end of our podcast. So why don't we quickly go through what we're playing right now? Anyone?
Dota every now and then. Yeah, right now Dota 2.
I've been grinding Dota 2. So like literally probably playing it like 4 hours a day at minimum.
Excellent. Tim, what are you playing?
I played about 5 minutes of World of Warcraft since the last time I recorded a podcast. And so I went back home and came back here and then had family come out here, so I've been on my toes the whole time.
Yeah, past couple weeks have been pretty busy. I haven't played too much. I've gotten put some time into Battlefield 4 multiplayer. Went back to play the single player and realized that my save file had been deleted. So that was awesome.
No. But
I'm like, no, I'm never going back. I'm never going to play that. I played like, I was like, I got like, I don't know, probably four hours into the single player. And
why did it do that?
I don't know. Ask Battlefield 4. Ask EA.
EA!
Like,
get over here.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to go back.
Scorpion.
I'm not going to go back. Get over here. But I played Tearaway on Vita. I had it for a week, platinumed it. Awesome game.
Damn.
Good time.
Yeah. That's great. I found that CD that Greg gave me.
Oh no!
Chinese Ninja Warrior.
With your heart Sub-Zero.
Why do you wear that?
With your heart so cold. Charles has a Mortal Kombat CD. I don't even know where he got it from.
It was from Greg. Greg Madden. Wait, what? From your brother.
Well, so where did he get it?
I don't know.
The thing is, it has like a track for every character in the game, but they're like the songs are just ridiculous. Like it's like Sub Zero, Chinese Ninja Warrior,
Kano. It's got a song for Kano. It's got a song for Tonya. It's got a song for Goro. It's got a song for Liu Kang. Or basically, the entire song is just. It's got a song for Raiden. It's got a song for.
I gotta ask him about this, man.
He wants that CD back every time he sees me. He's like, where is it? I'm gonna have to get it to him sometime.
You need to like rip it, man. That thing's,
I did.
Like,
yeah shit, seriously.
I wanna hear it.
Honestly, we should put that on this.
It's just ridiculous, man. Like, we used to listen to it in high school and we just be like.
And then there's also a remix of the Mortal Kombat theme, like the song. It has that song, but it also has this weird remix at the end that's like really strange.
Must be for the movie or something.
Maybe the second movie. It's pretty bad.
Anyways.
Tangent. The youngest, but also tangent. The fastest warrior in the tournament. Kano.
I'm crying right now.
Scorpion.
So good.
All right.
Time to fight. To conquer. To rule.
All right, we're at the end of the podcast because we got places to be, got football games to watch, right? All right, so yeah, thank you guys, thank you listeners for listening every week. Hopefully, get our name out. Hopefully, we're gonna I signed us up for Stitcher, so hopefully we'll be on Stitcher soon. Stitcher Radio.
We'll put you in cool. Stitches and, on Stitcher.
Thank you, That Choffy. Thank you, Robo P1G. Thank you, Shifty.
Robo Pig.
Robo Pig. That makes sense.
That's Robo P.
Robo P1G.
Robot. Wow. Robot. Pig. Robot.
Thank you, Shifty25. This has been, well, thank you. Thank you, Charles. Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Tim. This is Late Night Gamer Podcast, episode 18. And this is the end of
Happy
the year.
Happy New Year!
So we'll, Happy New Year. Stay safe. Drink.
Have a
good time.
Mimosa for me.
Party like a rock star. We'll see you in 2014. Late Night Gamers Podcast, where we make all of your gaming habits seem acceptable.
Late Night Gamers.
Steve. You suck so bad and so unbalanced, blah, and then I just quit and never play it ever again.
Carlson.
What do you do in your free time? Sit around knitting? Screw that shit, I'm gonna cut off a dragon's head.
Tim.
It's okay if your guts spill out and you explode into a bloody mess, as long as you don't take your clothes off.
Late Night Gamers.
He has all the little games in his lap and stuff.
Mm-hmm. He just, it's like he has some sort of, like, sexual relationship with them.
Yes.
Yes, touch me.
Oh, Sega. No one will ever understand me like you do, Sega.
If you put a black light on that collection, it would not be pretty.